Can a microbe living deep underground teach us about life on other planets? Well, that's one of the questions facing a team at the Desert Research Institute. Microbes make up the vast majority of all life on Earth, yet researchers can only grow about 1% of them in the laboratory. The remaining unknown 99% of microbes may hold many innovative answers, including to the origins of life. Scott Hamilton Bream is a postdoctoral fellow in biochemistry at the Desert Research Institute. He is studying microbes that live in boiling springs deep underground, and he joins us now. Scott, welcome to KNPR.
Hi. Thank you.
Your work is part of DRI's collaboration with the NASA Astrobiology Institute Life Underground Project. But first, if you would, define extreme microbes and tell us why they're so important.
Well, extreme microbes, or extremophiles, it's Latin meaning extreme loving. Actually, it's kind of ironic. It's about 50 years ago that Thomas Brock at Yellowstone looked at the pretty colors and the filaments in the waters. And up to that point, you know, pioneers, Native Americans, going by, no one just kind of made that connection that that is alive, living in boiling water. Up to that point, we assumed that life lived in a nice ambient temperature like this room here and all that.
NASA funded this collaborative effort. It's about $6.6 million with USC. And I'm wondering why Desert Research Institute got the nod, was chosen to participate. What special skills does DRI bring to the project?
Well, principal investigator, Dwayne Moser, is credited with right now the deepest life form detected about 10 years ago, which is an organism found in South Africa. I was hired on because I've been kind of working on my skills of to culture the difficult organisms, the 99% that we cannot grow in the lab. It's not to say they couldn't be grown, but we have to kind of abandon the typical Louis Pasteur methods that were developed in the 1800s and start developing new techniques. And as we develop new techniques, we learn more about the microbes. There's a lot of opportunity. At 99%, you almost can't lose.
Yeah, I suppose not. On the other hand, if those 99% are largely unknown, what's the point of trying to discover them and maybe grow them in the lab?
Well, of the 99%, there's probably going to be some redundancy with the 1% we currently know. But, you know, there are very practical reasons to go after it, where you can say biofuels, medical reasons, antibiotic resistance, nanostructures, remediation, all that. But there's also one other topic that we can't avoid to talk about, which is also origins of life. The more simple the organism, presumably maybe we can get closer at the idea of how does life form in the solar system and in the universe.
So I gather DRI researchers are looking for these extreme microbes, or some of them anyway, in Nevada. Where are you looking?
Many locations. Normally you hear people talk about Kamchatka, Russia, or you talk about Yellowstone National Park or South Dakota. But actually, Nevada has lots of different places here that you can actually go to. There's Ash Meadows in Amargosa Valley. There's Death Valley. There's a Great Boiling Spring in northern Nevada. All these locations are homes to the extremophiles.
Any big discoveries so far? Have you chipped away at that 99%?
Yeah, actually. I have two organisms which I've kind of focused on. I'm kind of a victim of my own success there at DRI. We're all very good scientists, and here we come up with this, you know, dozens upon dozens of organisms, and they're unknown, or they haven't been looked at, and now we have to kind of cherry pick which are the most interesting out of interesting. and I've got two of them right now, and I'm pushing hard to try to get them characterized and get them to peer review.
How do you describe them?
How do I describe them? Well, usually, first thing, I like to get a visual of them. I try to see what they look like. So I'm using a microscope a lot of times.
As you look through the microscope, almost all of us have not ever seen microbes under the microscope before. Describe it for us. What does a microbe look like?
They come in many different shapes. The typical size is either a sphere or a rod, but that varies in size. So I'm looking at a world that's in the micron scale. So you're talking about a meter chopped up a million times, or our human hair is the width of 100 microns. Most of these organisms are about 2 to 4 microns long. The ones I'm looking at right now, they're kind of the extremes in this scale too. One of them is about a half micron long. It's not very
big.
These
are small.
Small. Then the other one is about 15 to 20 to 50 microns long. It's a huge. It's giant in the microbial world.
As microns go, it's huge. So Scott Hamilton Bream, you're going to host several lectures at the Henderson Libraries this week. How do you distill a complex world like this into a 30 to 60 minute lecture. It can't be easy.
It's not. But I guess the guiding star is that I want to instill the excitement about the research. You know, yes, I can't get into all the nitty-gritty details and all that, but at least I want to bring forth the idea that, you know, the extremophiles, they are a new discovery, they're exciting, they ignite the imagination of other worlds, and including even our own planet. I mean, I might not be, I won't be able to get to go to another planet, I won't be able to get to go to Mars, but at least I can go to Yellowstone National Park, I go to Great Boiling Spring or Ash Meadows, and I can look upon the pools, and I know that these are the extremophiles. These are the organisms that teach us more about the universe that we live in.
Scott Hamilton-Bream, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Scott Hamilton-Bream is a postdoctoral fellow in biochemistry at Desert Research Institute. Tonight and Thursday, he will discuss how investigating extreme microbes helps in the search for life in space. We've got more information at knprnews.org about the DRI Henderson Library Series.